Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We finished the charge of the adults, the duty of the adults. This evening we're going to study the choices of the adults. Making choices is a privilege reserved only to those who are alive. The moment you are dead, it's all over, isn't it? You realize that? Furthermore, as you mature and as you grow, the choices you make will have greater impact and significance. When you are a little boy, 3 years old, 4 years old, choices are made for you. As you mature, when you are given more responsibilities, you have to make choices that determine your life and the life of people under your charge, under your care. So if you are a married man, and so as a man, your family's well-being, physical and spiritual, is in your hands. If you are a CEO of a company, everyone who work in that company depends upon your choices, the decisions you make that will break or build up the company. If you are the president of a country, the prime minister, even more important, the decisions you have to make would be to people. Making choices is something that we do all the time. Making choices is something that we do without thinking most of the time. The moment you wake up, you begin to make choices. And many of these, because they are routine choices, we just simply take them for granted. We just go through the motion without much thinking. But day to day, as you go to work, as you interact with people, you have to make very significant, deliberate, important choices. A few days ago, I had to make a choice. Should I or should I not attend the pre-trial conference or the mediation on Wednesday morning? I didn't want to, because I know that it will last at least the entire morning. And it did, from 9:30 till about 12 o'clock. So the whole morning was spent in court. If I had not decided to go to court, then I would have returned home and I would have been doing some other work, my notes, preparing lessons, other things, other than going to court. But the moment the decision was made and I find myself in court, then what I wanted to do at home could not be done. Making choices can shape, mold, change lives, especially your own and the people closest to you. This context in Deuteronomy 11 was very crucial and significant. It was not just a choice made by an individual. It was a choice targeted at adults. The reason I asked Gong Sing to read from verse 1 is because to help us remember that God purposely said, I'm not talking to those who had not experienced what God mentioned here. The chastisement of the Lord God, how God brought them out of Egypt, the miracles, how God punished Pharaoh. They never had these experiences. And God deliberately said, I'm not talking to these people who did not have these experiences. But I'm speaking to one particular group, the adults, the oldest in this particular group of people of Israel. I'm targeting all of you because you have more experiences walking with God, experiencing the fellowship of God, the direction of God in your life. And therefore, when you make decisions, I want you to take the lead. I want you to make choices on behalf of yourselves, your family, in fact, the whole people of God. Because the younger generation who may be strong, like the 20s and the 30s, but they were all brought up, they were all born in the wilderness. They can't have the experience to lead. They may have the energy, they may want to. But God said, I do not want them to. I want you to do it. Experience right now is more than just strength and vigor and energy, which young people would have. Older folks do not have that kind of zeal and energy because of age. You have done your part. You have seen things that God said is very needful and necessary for you to decide for the whole people of God, the whole nation of God's people. Because their welfare, God's plan of salvation for mankind, depends on your decision at this juncture of Israel's history. If you fail, would you be prepared to wander in the wilderness again? The previous generation failed. That previous generation of adults, they made wrong choices. They chose to listen to the voices of 10 faithless. And because of the rebuke that God gave to them, they refused to listen. And the moment they refused to listen, that choice of not entering the promised land, believing that we are like grasshoppers, these are like giants, that was it. They all died in the wilderness. And now you are the next generation of leaders, which the previous generation, your fathers, failed. Will you fail this time round? Or will you pass the test? That was how significant the choices of these adults were pertaining to God's plan of salvation. Because without the nation of Israel, there is no plan of salvation. Christ must be born an Israelite. And that is why the impact of the choices made by these adults affected you, affected me, affected the world by what they did. Thank God they made the right choices. Thank God they passed the test. Of course, we know that. In the book of Joshua, it was a very good generation. But you and I know that as far as choices are concerned, basically, we need God's help. We are bombarded by all kinds of voices shouting into our ears, follow my lead, listen to me. The budget for Singapore 2014 came out, right? You read it? I did not. Didn't bother. Not interested. Maybe whether CPF go up or not. But other than that, the business one, the tobacco, the alcohol, they have to pay more now, right? Didn't bother. Because I don't plan to smoke. I don't plan to drink. So whether it goes up, goes down, didn't care too much. Today concerned me about the gay in Singapore. Should I make important decisions concerning the gay arguments? Should they repeal the law and allow gay to be legalized in Singapore? What choices should I make as a citizen, as a father, to prepare my children, to protect them, and God willing, help them, teach them to protect their children if it's God's will for them to get married and have families, if the Lord tarries? So many Eves, so many voices, bombarding our hearts and our minds, directing us, make this kind of choice, make that choice, make so many options. But God says, take away all these other voices you hear only one. We are God's children, hear only one. And God said in verse 13, and it shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently. The word hearken diligently literally means hear. Diligently means hear very, very carefully. Hear very carefully. Your fathers heard the voice of the 10 faithless spies. When there were two other spies named Joshua and Caleb, they also said something to you. They said, we can go in. The other group say, we cannot go in. Who is right? Which one is the voice of God? Hear diligently. That's what these leaders must do. Imagine 2 million people leading them as adults. Imagine the kind of commotion if the younger generation, all of them want to make decisions, which giving advice to this group of leader, to that group of leader. These are my elders leading my tribe, 12 tribes. It must have been a very, very major, frightening project for a man like Joshua to take over Moses, leading so many Indian chiefs of all the different tribes. And then underneath all these different tribes, I'm sure you're going to have bad heads, black sheep, all kinds of sheep, isn't it? And then you have the enemies. They will also give you all kinds of advice. You're going to hear rumors. So many kind of voices shouting into your ears, hoping that you will listen and make a decision. God said, don't ever listen to any other voice except mine. That's the meaning of the word diligently. Sharpen your ears. Make sure that the voice you hear before you make a decision, especially a very important decision concerning the church, concerning your family, concerning your life, concerning your service, every decision, hear God's voice diligently. Why did God add the word diligent? Literally, it means to hear, you shall hear. That's the literal translation. To hear, you shall hear means hear very, very carefully. Because if you don't, you make the wrong decision, there is no turning back. There are certain decisions where the consequences on earth, you have to live with it and bear with it for the rest of your life. 2 days ago, do you read in the front page about this, what? CNB officer? Because of gambling debts, because he was addicted to gambling, he stole money, and now he had to spend the next 10 years of his life in prison. He made choices. He knew what he did was wrong. He's supposed to police the policeman. He's supposed to police everybody else. And he himself became a crook, became a criminal. He made choices whereby he can't turn back. The moment he stole, he had to keep on stealing to feed his addiction. He knew he would be found out. It's only a matter of time. And now he had to spend 10 years of his life in prison. What amazed me was this, you know. Why didn't he cover his face when the reporter took a picture of him? I mean, most of the time you see people, they cover their faces. Why did he cover his face? He walked around, you see his face like as if he was going on a holiday. You're going to jail, you know, 10 years. Why was he not ashamed? That was what caught my eye. Because the headline was very clear. Then I look at the picture, the headline and the picture, they don't tally. Because in other pictures, people are ashamed. They don't want the world to know what he looks like. But this guy was not, he was not even wearing a hood. He was not wearing sunglasses. He was just simply walking, strolling, relaxed. 10 years in prison. He made a choice. Please hear God's voice diligently. In all that you decide before you make your choice. Would you do that? Hear the voice of God. Very soon, in a few months' time, it will be election. You're going to choose leaders again to take care of your spiritual life, to take care of the spiritual well-being of your loved ones, your children, to lead this church. Don't just do it as a matter of fact. Don't based upon personal feelings, friendship, relationship. Let it be based upon God's word. Because that's exactly where you and I are going to find God's voice. You're not going to be a voice coming down from heaven like when Jesus was coming out of the water after his baptism. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. We're not going to get that. Hearing the voice of God means not only to listen to the voice of God, but to hear it means to obey it. Not just to guard the word of God, because that's what verse 8 says. When we studied about our duty, one of our duties is to guard the word of God. And now the Bible says, after you guard it means to protect it. But no point protecting it, defending that it's perfect, when you don't read it and hear it and obey it. Hearing here means to obey. And you have to do it diligently. And the Bible says, God's commandments, which I command you this day. And in this case, go in and conquer the land of Canaan. It is the land of promise that God has given to you. And do it my way. You know what was God's way? Subsequently, they have to walk into an overflowing river Jordan. And they have to do it by faith. If the water doesn't stop, these priests who will step into it, they are going to be washed away. They are going to drown. They are going to die. But they have to do what God's word says, even though it may run counter to all that they think is logical, all that they think is impossible. You have to do it because this is what God, your Heavenly Father, says you do. You do. You hear people saying, murmuring, cars are so expensive in Singapore. Houses are so expensive in Singapore. How are our children going to find a home? Where are they going to have the money to buy the houses that are getting more and more expensive, etc., etc., etc.? And then when you hear so much of all these, and then sometimes you hang around with family members, and all they can do is to complain. I don't like to sit around conversation with people who complain about the country all the time. I walk away. Because these are the voices that I hear. Of course, they are not believers. I can understand. The family members are not believers. And so to them, all these mountains are impossible to climb. But we are not unbelievers. We are children of God. You mean my Heavenly Father placed me here in this country and His hands are tied because the houses are too expensive? My Father cannot provide for me? And then when we complain and murmur, and then our children are within hearing distance. How do you think it will impact them when these are the kind of words that we choose to let out of our mouth? How do you think it will impact them? God said, you hear my commandments and obey it diligently. You trust me, and sometimes the things that I ask you to do according to God's word may seem impossible. But you trust me, God specializes in the impossible. Do you know that? That's our God. If God wants you to live in this part of the country to serve Him, you think He cannot take care of your physical needs as He promised us that He would? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things means what? Food and clothing, shelter, roof over your head. I will take care of them. You don't focus on them. You focus on seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness, living a holy life, serving me. Let this be your one and only consuming focus. Don't let it be sidetracked by the voices of the world and the significance of the size of the problems of the world pertaining to your physical well-being. I will take care of that. You leave it to me. You take care of your spiritual life. You take care of the spiritual life of your loved ones, your spiritual responsibilities. The physical aspect, God says, I will manage. But our problem is we switch role. We want to manage the physical. That is our problem. We think that God cannot do the physical, and therefore, because by managing our physical, by focusing so much on the physical, we neglect the spiritual. And that's what we call waywardness, or that's what the Bible calls waywardness, backsliding. And so our spiritual life keeps on going lower and lower and lower. And by the time we realize it, we want to climb back out, you are in your 50s. 20 years of waywardness, and what do you have to show before the Lord as far as spiritual impact is concerned? Negative. Negative. 20 years you have influenced people for Christ in a negative way because you call yourself a Christian and you did not live as a Christian, and people were hard-pressed to see Christ in you. And that is our problem. We don't trust God's word. God says, you hear diligently my words, my commandment. You hear, you obey. You don't be affected by the voices that you cannot stop. They will continue to be there. But don't let it cause you to stop hearing, obeying the voice of God. Obey His commandment diligently this day. And then you love the Lord your God. And then you serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So what does God's word say? Love Him with all your heart. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Love and serve. Why? Because out of the heart are the issues of life. Issues of life means all the decisions of life. Proverbs 4:23, I believe, teaches us, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because once your heart is in tune with God, that's where all the decisions begin, your heart. Your heart. That's where it all begins. That's why the Bible says you love the Lord. When you love Him, you will hear Him, you will obey Him. When you don't love Him, you will not hear Him, you will not obey Him, and your relationship with Him will become cold. You find that the voice of God is something that you don't want to hear when your love for Him has grown cold. This is recorded, right? You all know I have a few girlfriends before I met Angie, right? Huh? Not that many, but a few. Then when you start to date the girl, then your feeling for the girl is there. Her voice, what she likes, what she wants, you try to get to the best of your ability. You remember her birthday, time spent with her is precious. Can't wait to be with her. Always desirous to be around her. Isn't that true? And because I have a few girlfriends, so there are times when I want to break off. You know break off, right? I'm the breaker, not the breaky. Breaky is very painful. Breaker, not so painful, I think. Correct or not? Right? Don't say you know what I'm talking about. Huh? Right? The breaker is the one, the girl will cry. The breaky is the one who feels the pain because you still have feelings for that person, but the person rejects your feelings. I don't want your feelings anymore. Please keep your feeling to yourself, you know? That's what the breaker will tell the breaky. But of course, the breaker will say in a very nice way whereby he will come out quite shining and bright. And then he will say, you know, I think you should go and find somebody else who's better for you. I'm not good enough for you. That kind of nonsense, you know? Right? The breaker will say to the breaky, when you don't have any more feelings, then the girl's presence, the girl's voice, the girl's birthday, all the things about the girl, you don't seem to care anymore. It's the same girl, but what has happened? Few months ago, the feelings were all there. You can't wait to be with her. But when the feelings are gone, you don't want her to be near you. You don't want to be near. You don't want her to. Don't want her to call you. You just don't care. What has happened? What has happened? The love is gone. The feeling is gone, isn't it? That's why God said to all the adults, "You want to lead my people? You want to do God's will that will impact the whole world? You love the Lord your God. Because from your heart, it will issue forth all your decisions, all the choices you make begins with the heart. And if your love is for God, His voice will be very, very precious, very dear to you. But when your love is cold, you don't like to hear God's word being preached. Because you know that you're away from God, you're far away from God. If you're truly born again, worse still, it should break your heart. That you have no desire to hear the voice of God the Father. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before the fall? When they heard the voice of God, they never fled, they never hid, they never ran away. But after the fall, when they heard the voice of God, they hid themselves. They don't want to see God until God had to call them out so that they will stand in front of Him. What has happened? What happened? They didn't want to listen. They don't like the voice of God any longer because they were in sin. When you love the world, that is exactly what will happen. The voices of God just simply, you don't care. Whether it is about Genesis or Revelation or epistles, you just simply don't care anymore. The love is gone. You want to keep on obeying God's word? And I hope that's what you and I will want to do, because that is the basis that must direct and guide our decision making, our choices. You love the Lord your God. Don't love the things of the world more than God. Never. Don't love anyone on earth more than your Heavenly Father. Never. The love that you have for God must be absolute, and it must be pure, and it must be top. first. Anything less than that is a sin. This is how you keep on obeying God's word. Keep on sustaining, keeping this love for God alive. Whereby opening the scripture, looking forward to studying the word of God is a very good indicator that you love the Lord. Because you love Him, you want to hear His voice. True? You don't love Him, you don't want to hear His voice. You know what I mean. That's why God says, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Then you will obviously serve Him. Now, serving Him is more than just serving in the church. It is not limited to serving in the church. It includes serving in the church. You can serve the Lord in your workplace. You can serve the Lord everywhere you go. It begins with your testimony. Testimony of God's holiness is service. You know, sometimes in my early days when I studied the Word, I get a little confused. You know what I was confused about? I was confused about sanctification. I was confused about sanctification because I thought that sanctification that we experience on earth, that God allows us to go through all these trials to sanctify us by His word and so on, is to make us more holy, more fit for heaven. Then, my problem is this. There are some who accepted Christ when they are in hospital on the deathbed. Few weeks after they accepted Christ, the Lord took them home. They don't have any sanctification process. So does that mean that they are less fit for heaven? So I've been scratching my head. This is a problem that I didn't understand. I grappled with it. And I only understood a few weeks ago when I was studying the book of Romans. Then I realized, the moment a person is born again, he is already fit for heaven. Immediately. If that is true, and that is true because that's what Romans 6 teaches us, then what is the purpose of sanctification, which is Romans 7? So the sanctification process that God allows us to go through while we sojourn on this earth is not to make us more fit for heaven because we are already fit for heaven. So that means the sanctification is for another purpose. And so, what exactly is the purpose? It's the purpose for service. Because God saved us and let us remain on earth for service. If we are already fit for heaven, immediately after salvation, the moment we begin, the moment we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we are already fit for heaven. Now, our Heavenly Father loves us. And as fathers, we want to keep our children safe. Now, the safest place after salvation is in heaven, because now we're already fit for heaven. Why didn't God bring us up to heaven to protect us, keep us safe? So God allowed us to remain on earth, and this earth is a dangerous place. The Bible says this earth has the world run by the prince of this world, which is Satan. It's a dangerous place. But God provided everything that we need to succeed. And God left us behind on this earth before He took us home is for service. And that means the sanctification is for service. The sanctification is to help us become fit for service. Make us to become more and more like Christ. Because you cannot serve God where the image of Christ in you is tarnished, is blurred. Sanctification is like someone polishing a metal that has become dull, where it doesn't shine anymore. And so you polish it until it shines brightly and clearly. So the sanctification process on earth is not to make us more fit for heaven, but to let the image of Christ shine brightly in us while we serve Him on this earth. Do you know why God, after He saved us and did not give us a glorified body, which He could? Because if He gave us a glorified body to serve Him right now, it is so much easier for people to see Christ in us, isn't it? Do you realize that? Now, if we are all shining, also bright in a glorified body, right? And then we serve the Lord. Wow, this is a Christian. Look, wow, look and see the image of Christ in him. So easy, isn't it? But then if they see that by sight, not by faith, God cannot accept. Because as long as we are on this earth, Salvation has to be by faith. That's why God did not give us a glorified body after salvation so that the image of Christ can be seen brightly, because God let us remain on earth in this mortal flesh, even though inside us we are a new person. The old man is gone. We are a new person inside this outward mortal flesh, which is the same body, but because of the word of God, the image of Christ can still be seen brightly through this same mortal flesh, the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what the sanctification process is. And that's why I need to emphasize this, because that's how you must serve. You cannot serve without the image of Christ shining brightly through you. Because that's what the world needs. Not just you serving, but let it shine brightly by a holy life. So when you love the Lord, when you obey the word of God diligently, it will automatically result in a holy life of service. And you do that with all your heart and with all your soul, consumed by it. Don't let it diminish. Regardless of age, regardless of the different phases of life that you have to go through, this is what you must do to make sure that the choices you make is pleasing in God's sight. That I will give you the rain of your land in its due season if you obey, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Now, because the witness on earth at that time was national, and you cannot be a nation without a land, and therefore the spiritual blessing that God gave to Israel will have to be both spiritual and material. That's what verse 14 and 15 is all about. The early rain and the latter rain, or the first rain and the latter rain, simply means the first rain is the rain that Israel must have in order to soften the ground for planting. The latter rain must come to ripen the crops so that the crops will be rich and full for harvesting. Do you know what that means? Let's say you want to plant wheat. The moment you put the wheat into the ground, wheat will take a fixed amount of time that cannot be shortened, that cannot be lengthened. Okay, of course, now today with genetic engineering, they like to play around with that time. The moment the day you put the seed into the ground, to the time when it becomes fully grown with a lot of wheat, okay, that time you cannot change. So that means, if you are lazy and you miss the deadline where the seed must be in the ground, then before the rain comes, the latter rain comes, your plant, your crops are not grown enough to absorb the nutrients and the rain. It will perish. Too early also cannot. Too late also cannot. It must be right at the same time. The time that you must plant is now, in order for you to catch the latter rain, so that when it comes, your crop will be full and rich. Now that is the life of a farmer. And that's what God said to Israel. You serve and you serve and you serve, but never forget, be diligent, but there will always be many parts of your life that will depend upon God. The first rain and the latter rain. No matter how hardworking you are, if God doesn't send the rain, it's all over. And God will do His part to send the rain, but you have to do your part and do the planting. Don't be lazy. The planting must begin. Now you have to do it. And that's why it's a very good indicator to remind us. There are many decisions, many choices you have to make. Don't procrastinate. You have to make it. God will do His part. But there is human responsibility where you have to do your part, where you have to make a decision. If you don't make the decision, it could be too late. I was trying to counsel and advise a young man who was not sure whether he should serve in Church A or Church B. He is a member of Church A. And so he was procrastinating after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Then I said to him, very simply, you have been offered a position in Church A to serve, and you do not want to accept. But you accept the preaching engagement given to you by Church A. And if you serve in Church A and the people gravitate toward you, they begin to like you. And they don't like the pastor as much as they like you. And then after 6 months, a year, let's say, because of your procrastination, you do not want to accept the position, but you accept the invitation to speak. And then after 12 months, then you finally decide, I think I don't want to serve in church A, I want to serve in church B. And then the people follow you and leave church A to follow you to church B. Do you know what will happen? What it means is simply this. Even though you may not have asked them to leave with you, you, if you find half the congregation leaving with you to join church B, you will be seen as one who has split the church. Do you realize that? Because you keep on procrastinating the decision whether to serve in A or B. Your procrastination will have consequences, and the impact and the consequence may not be very, very God-honoring. Please, don't procrastinate. Make a decision. Make a choice. Make it soon. If it is A, choose A, stay in A, and do the best. If it is B, decide as soon as you possibly can. Don't procrastinate. There are certain decisions that you have to always bear in mind, especially big decisions. God will do His part. You and I must do our part. And when both of them are in sync, it will come to pass. And that's what God said to him. You do your part. I will do my part. You work hard and you make the right decision and I will take care of you. I will make sure that the land will be plentiful. But it's this God's condition. Hear diligently. Love the Lord your God. Serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Let it be God's voice that you hear when you make choices. Second, in making choices, one is hear diligently, the other one is guard carefully. Verse 6 to verse 7. Just because you make choices very correctly up to this point of your life doesn't mean that in a year's time, you're going to make the right choice again. No guarantee. I still remember the incident of this army captain. Never entered into a casino before in his life until one fine day, his buddies, two of them, brought him to a casino. And so he just went into this place where they have all this machine, the one arm bandit. And so he just put a few coins inside to see what it was like. And lo and behold, first time lucky, they call it. And so he managed to get some money, more than what he put in. And from that day onwards, he was hooked. He was so hooked by going to the casino that he lost his entire savings. He borrowed money. Nobody wanted to lend him. He has maxed out his credit card. He borrowed from loan sharks. And now he lost all the money that he borrowed from the loan shark. And now the loan shark has been coming after him. And so the loan shark said to him, the only way that we can help you get rid of your debt is you help us be our debt collector. You're a captain, right? Do you know how to collect debt, isn't it? So during his free time, he will go and collect debt. And so every debt he collected, they minus off a certain amount. And so when people do not want to pay, you know what he did? He would splash paints onto their doors and he would do all the terrible things that you read about in the newspaper. And of course, he was caught. And so the reason why he was in the newspaper is because of all the things that he has done and he was caught. And so now he was facing a jail term. Obviously, he lost his commission. He lost his retirement benefits. Everything he lost, and he went to prison. He lost his wife. He lost his children. The wife divorced him. He lost everything. Before he went with his friends to the casino, life was normal. Everything was smooth sailing. Captain's pay, you go home, you do the normal thing like everybody else, you have money in the bank, you keep on saving, and everything was on track. Until that one fine day, he made that wrong choice. And his life took a turn for the worse. And what will happen to him after his jail term, I do not know. No more report in the newspaper after that. Verse 8 talks about guarding God's commandment. Verse 16, same word. Take heed is the same word for keep, means to guard. Guard yourselves. Guarding God's word later on so that you can obey God's word. Here, you have to guard yourself. Making choices, hearing God so diligently is very good. But there is one extra. Because this world is dangerous. We talk about it. This world is ruled by the prince of this world, that is Satan. His desire is not to take away your salvation. He can't do that if you are truly born again. And since we are here, safe for service, right? God wants us to shine brightly for Christ, isn't it? And so therefore, what do you think his agenda is? Stop letting you shine brightly for Christ. His agenda is to hinder your service. His agenda is to make you lose your godly witness so that you will become a stumbling block for Christ. That is his agenda. It's not to take away your salvation. Now, when you do not know God's word, and your salvation is anchored upon feelings and not God's word, he might make you think that you lose your salvation. And that may be all that he needed to do, because when you think you will lose your salvation, and when you are not sure of your salvation, he will cripple your service, he will cripple your witness, cripple your testimony. He knows that. And that is why, in order for you to guard yourself, you have to ensure, number one, hear the word of God diligently means you have to keep on studying God's word, keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on understanding, keep on obeying. That is how you guard yourself. Because if you don't, you hear, look, your heart will be deceived if you don't. Because that's exactly what he will do. Your heart will be deceived. Because if it's not anchored in God's word, if your love for the Lord is not strong, because you don't know him, how to love someone you do not know? The more you know God's word, the more your love can be strengthened and deepened, and it will become the anchor that will keep you safe. Because this word guard means to put a hedge around it. In other words, put a hedge around yourself. Don't let him penetrate through this hedge. That's the meaning of the word, take heed, guard, shamar, keep safe. Put a hedge around it to yourself. Because if you don't do it to yourself, you are no good to your children. You are no good to the younger ones. You are no good to the teens and to the YFers. If you do not guard yourself, you become a casualty. You know, sometimes when you look at in an airplane, they'll tell you how to put the mask on, you know, it's a pressure drop, then you put the mask, right? And then they'll tell you, don't put the mask on for your son sitting there, put the mask on for yourself first, isn't it? Then you help someone next to you, isn't it? Why? The reason is, if you put for your child next to you, right, that may be the first normal reaction. Keep your son safe first. He's 6 years old, he doesn't know how to do it. So you do it for him. By the time you do it for him, if you struggle, it takes too long, you may not have the oxygen to breathe. You may faint. If you faint, he can't help you. You understand that? That's why you have to put your own mask first on, make sure you are breathing well, then you help. Because that little delay, you know how to do it well, do it fast, and that little delay will not jeopardize your son's life. But if you put it for your son and you struggle, he struggled with you, it took too long, you might faint. You will not have oxygen. You will die. He can't help you. Same here. If you don't guard yourself, you can't guard them. If you become the casualty, that's it for them. That's it. It's all over. You know how sad and how terrible it is to see in a church where you only have young people, no adults? What happened to the adults? Grandparents maybe, young children, but where happened to this age group? Gone. They loved the world. They did not guard their heart and they became casualty. Once you become a casualty, you are useless to the younger generation. That's why guard yourself so that your heart will not be deceived. Do not turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Because once your heart is gone, you're going to love the world. Guarantee. Once you love the world, you're going to do what is right in your own eyes. And once you do that, the slide will continue on further and further, further and further, further and further. And I hope that you will wake up fast. Because if you don't wake up, your years are gone. It's all over. And by the time you wake up, you may be in your 70s. And it's all over. Time is precious. You make choices. Time just continues to go on. Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. You sit down, do nothing. Time tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Isn't it? Your clock, my clock, keeps on ticking, keeps on talking. Is there such a thing, a tick-tocking? It keeps on going, isn't it? Don't you realize that? You sit down in the bus, sit down in the MRT, sit down in the bus stop, the time, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. You do something, it's still tick-tock, tick-tock. You don't do something, it's still tick-tock, tick-tock. You see, it's winding down. Make the right choices. Hear God's word diligently. Don't hear other voices. And you guard yourself, you guard your heart. Because if you don't, this is going to be the result. You're going to end up turning aside, away from God, and you're going to serve other gods. And then you're going to worship idols. You know how many casualties there have been? These 22 years since I came up from America to see the casualties. Some are leaders, some are members, but they are all casualties. It's very, very sad. They were with us, prayed together, served together, discussed the matters of the church together at session level, at board of elders level, went to their home to eat with them, laugh with them, joke with them, celebrated Chinese New Year with them, somewhere along the line. Casualty. Casualty. Some young people, so fervent, so zealous. And then, casualty. Tragic. But what can you do? What can you do? You can't do anything. But what you need to do, firstly, is yourself first. Take care of your own soul, guard your heart well, so that you will not become a casualty. Then, at least you can do something. Really, seriously, then you can do something. These are some of the regrets when I look back. Thinking of some of the people that I can still remember who used to be with us, but no longer with us. What could I have done better that could have helped them so that they will not end up as casualties of faith? We were also growing up in our faith. We were still struggling. We were also learning as we go along. That's why as adults right now, when I look back, I wish I had the wisdom of today, 20 years ago when I was in my 30s. You know that? You know that kind of a feeling? I wish I had today's wisdom, today's experience with the energy and strength of a 25-year-old or 30-year-old. But of course, that is wishful thinking. That is an impossibility. Because when you're 30, you don't have the time, you don't have the experiences of life to arrive at today's wisdom when you are nearly 60. You as adults, you have now the experience and the wisdom. And if you do not guard yourself and you become casualty, you imagine what the young people, when they look at you, when they look at you, the teens, the young adults, what happened? What happened to this uncle? What happened to this auntie? Where did they go? Why are they not in church anymore? Where are they? Guard yourself so that you will not fall prey and love other gods. And then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you if you ever stumble and fall. And he shall shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. What must God punish? Because we bear the name of Christ. You know that if FEBC stumble and fall, and one day if FEBC turns bad, my prayer and my hope is that FEBC be destroyed. Because if FEBC has turned rotten, like what we see in so many seminaries in America, biblical seminary where we studied and graduated from, it is now the citadel of a new brand of theology. The new brand of theology is that God's omniscience is bound by time. God's omniscience is based upon progressive knowledge. That means God sees us to be immutable. See, our understanding of omniscience is God knows all things all at the same time. His knowledge doesn't increase with time, isn't it? But now there's this new theology that biblical seminary is promoting, and it is the center of this new teaching, where the professor who is teaching there is imparting this terrible, nightmarish teaching that the omniscience of God means God does not know what will happen tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, God will know all things tomorrow. So God's omniscience is bound by time, is progressive. So now you're progressive Christianity. If FEBC becomes like this, it is better for FEBC to shut down, close down. Stop teaching wrong things, ruining the lives of pastors where they will graduate from such a Bible college and go back and ruin more lives and become pastors of churches. When the first generation dies off and the older pastor dies off, this new young pastor with all this terrible theology will come and teach wrong things. And that's why God says to Israel, you worship other gods when I gave you the honor to be called Israel, my people. And then you bow down to idols. God said, I'm going to remove you from the land. I'm going to punish you because I have to stop you. Because if you do not shine forth for Christ and tell them about Jesus Christ, and then you tell them that you are a Christian, but your Christian gods are idols. God is not an idol, but you are presenting to the world an image of God that is completely opposite to the one living and true God. God said, I cannot allow you to do that. I have to intervene and I will punish. You are adults. God put us here. We have the image of Christ in us. We call ourselves Christians. And when you and I stray away and we bear the image of Christ incorrectly, please don't expect God to sit down and do nothing. Because God wants to save those people so that you will not stumble them. And as long as you continue to stumble them, God will have to stop you. And it could be either illness or He could simply just take you home. This is serious, in other words. The younger generation's spiritual well-being is in your hands. That's exactly what it means. The choices you make will impact them. Election. You choose the wrong leaders. What do you think will happen to our children, our Sunday school, our younger generation? And if the leaders are crooked, are bad, what do you think will happen to them? It will be like Life Church. You know that, right? It will be like Life Church. And that's exactly what happens. You can see, you want that to happen here, you follow their footsteps. Choose wrong leaders, and they're going to kill the church for you. And where will your children go? You want to send your children to Life Church, where the Sunday school teachers will teach them the Bible has mistakes. You send your children to the kindergarten, where they teach them how to do lion dance. Your children, and they will have a one-way ticket to hell. That is what is at stake. When you, as adults, make choices, hear the word of God diligently. Guard yourselves. Please guard yourselves. Don't let the world take your love for the Lord away from you. And serve Him and not mammon. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, be merciful to us, O Lord, in this church. For You have saved us for service. And You have kept us alive and allow us to remain in this church to be the adults, to lead, to guide the younger ones. Help us, O Lord, to always be good students of Thy Word and grant to us hearts of flesh whereby the Word of God will not only be studied and heard, but obeyed. And keep our love for You alive, that we may always love You and serve You with all our heart and with all our soul. And may we always guard ourselves spiritually, that the voices of the world and the love for the things of the world will not rob us of our devotion and our love for Thee. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Preserve the adult fellowship and the adults in this church. May Thou be merciful to hear our cry for Jesus' sake. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.